from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, see, I talked. I talked early. I did it. Good morning indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome in. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Happy Wednesday. My dudes and my dudettes, primarily the happiest of Wednesdays to Mikal Bridges, who doesn't have to play in Brooklyn anymore. That's pretty sweet to be him. Is exactly what Mikal Bridges said when James Harden and KD and everybody else left Brooklyn. It's like, what are we doing here? Brooklyn, what are we doing?
Getting paid millions of dollars?
Yeah, I mean, he was getting paid a lot of money.
A lot of money.
For the record, he is still going to get paid a lot of money now that he finds himself over in New York, over with the Knickerbockers. That's a big pickup. That's a big move as we get set, as we get prepared for tonight's NBA draft. An NBA draft, Lonzo, that there is exactly zero excitement and anticipation of right now.
I thought there was another French guy who might be drafted or something.
There's a bunch of European players. As a matter of fact, I'd like to have a conversation about that later, because looking around this draft order, there is a metric buttload of European players in this draft, to the point that people have been pointing out that we've kind of gotten to an area where some of the best talent, not a majority, but like the heaviest percentage maybe ever of talent in the NBA draft is coming from overseas, is coming from Europe.
So where do the Lakers draft? I mean, do we know what position they're drafting in?
They are drafting at 22, if I recall correctly.
So this was all set up by LeBron James. It was an influx of European players, so no American players would go until like 20-something.
That was it. So LeBron, just to get Bronny.
So Bronny could go to the Lakers.
Just to get Bronny. I think you're onto something here.
Yeah, and also the people who say that say Michael Jordan's the greatest of all time.
Almost exclusively, indeed, almost exclusively. We are going to talk a little bit about that during the course of the day today, because it has been very interesting watching this whole thing play out, because there is absolutely, without a doubt, an influx of European talent to a higher percentage of tonight's probable draft class than ever before, and I would like to address that, even if it bores Lonzo.
I wasn't talking about me.
Oh, okay.
I think it's very interesting, but I think it's going to cause people not to tune in, because we haven't. I mean, last year all we heard about was Wembanyama everywhere, and I mean he was all over the place. And even though European, I mean, guy from France, but still we heard about that, and haven't really heard about anybody being the big deal this year in the draft.
Yeah, there's not that guy, right? Which is why it is got to be frustrating if you are the Atlanta Hawks. You're sitting there with the first overall selection. You're on the clock. And last night it was reported by Woj that with less than 24 hours to go until their name gets called tonight, the Hawks don't know what to do. I know. what a bad spot, dude, to have the number one pick and just be like, what's going on?
You know, if this was the NFL, you'd be thinking, yeah, right. Yeah, you know who you're picking. But in this case, maybe they don't.
Yeah, I think probably 3 out of 5 years, the number one overall selection in the NFL is known. It's predictable. We're talking about number two. But I would also argue that very rarely do you have a class. And again, this is not, it's not that it is a bad class. It's just that there's not really one or two or three standout superstars like we're used to, right? Like, it wasn't just Wimby last year. There were a number of players going into last year's draft that had a lot of, it felt like a lot of upside. With this draft, you've got Zachary Risacher.
Sounds accurate.
He's French.
Yeah.
He's French.
You should have just said
Zachary Risacher.
See, there you go. But it sounds like you're saying Ricochet. But, you know.
Risacher. And here's the part that I'm talking about, right? Even if, and I will acknowledge that I should have done a better job of diving into tonight's draft. And I will between here and Tim.
I'm looking at Risacher.
Risacher?
Yeah, I just. Yeah.
We would like one Zachary Risacher.
I wanted to see what. I'm looking at a mock draft, this one from NBC. And yeah, guy number two from the Perth Wildcats,
Alex Saar, who up till like last week was the consensus number one pick for Atlanta, and now he's not. By the way, Alex Saar, who does indeed play in Aussie, oi, 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 also French.
Here's a guy from League Ignite. What is League Ignite?
That is a team in the NBA G League.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's a guy who's been playing within the NBA's development league.
I didn't see the G.
Yeah.
G League Ignite. Yeah, yep. So I'm going away now.
And then you've got players coming out. Stephon Castle, we all remember him from UConn's run to their back-to-back natties last year. Reed Shepard from Kentucky. Dalton Connect out of Tennessee. Dalton Connect from anywhere on the damn floor out of Tennessee. I mean, there are players in this draft that we know about. Donovan Klingon, another UConner from last year. Devin Carter came out of Providence, took them on a run. Jacoby Walter out of Baylor took them deeper than Baylor was expected to go last year. There are players in this draft, but I would also say that none of the... I love Dalton Connect. It was one of my favorite NBA, or excuse me, college basketball players to watch in recent memory, but the guy was just a little bulldog anytime he was out there for Tennessee. But the reality is, as much as I love Dalton Connect, as a 6'6 winger, he didn't jump off the page as a future NBAer for me. And I guess that is kind of the problem with this draft is, listen, there's gonna be stars that come out of this draft, but going into it, there are few that jump off of the page at you.
Right, I found one. For me, on this mock draft, number 15, Zach Edey. So there's a guy that I've heard of before.
That's a guy you've heard of. I like Zach Edey at the college level. To me, he's too slow and too sluggish as a big man to translate to the NBA level. Zach Edey was stellar at Purdue because the entire Purdue game was based around Zach Edey. I don't think he's the guy that is going to be able to make things happen for himself if things are not being made to happen for him. He's not a wizard with the basketball in the paint. He's just a dude that you throw it up to him because he's 9'7", and he goes up and he gets it, and then he just kind of spins and hooks it. And that's fine at the college level. But, dude, everybody in the NBA's got a 7-footer who plays defense now. Everybody's got one.
And a lot of those guys nail the three, too.
Yeah. And I don't think Zach Edey's got a consistent three that makes him a danger. Let me put it this way. Whoever takes Zach Edey around 15, when they come up against Denver, I'll give you 2 years to develop Zach Edey. Does Zach Edey match up with Nikola Jokic right now?
Well,
absolutely not.
According to this mock draft, he'd be going to Miami. So I mean, is he a
which
bad
is a
fit
good
in Miami?
Landing spot for him? Yeah. No, not at all. It's a good landing spot. They need that guy. They need that 7-footer. They need that guy in that spot. But realistically speaking, does he elevate the Miami offense? He does, in that you are putting a legitimate 7-footer down there that I can trust consistently. But he's not like a guy that I think changes the game, and that concerns me. If you look down there, you add him to Bam Adebayo, right? And I'll say this. Is he a good landing spot? Yeah. It opens up Bam as a potential trade guy. It allows you to have Bam Adebayo, primarily a defensive big man. It allows you to add Zach Edey, who is, I think, primarily an offensive big man. Bam Adebayo goes 6'9". Zach Edey, what, checks in at like 7'2", 7'3". So it gives you a little bit of an advantage.
In there at the same time, possibly.
You absolutely could run them both, because your other option for Miami in this past year was either to have Nikola Jovic, who is a different person out there on the floor, or to run Kevin Love out there as your four. And while you and I both love Kevin Love, let's not pretend he's not a 6'7" shooting guy playing the power forward, who is also going to be almost 37 years old when next year tips off.
He's got to be pushing 40.
Yeah.
Also, in this mock draft at number 50, Indiana takes P.J. Hall from Clemson.
I'll tell you right now, I love P.J. Hall at Clemson. I don't see an NBA career in front of that guy. I think he should have come back. I really do. I think the best move would have been come back, play one more year at Clemson, develop as a post guy. Look at PJ Hall in the run through the ACC tournament and in the NCAA March Madness tournament. He had what? Out of the three or four ACC tournament games, he had like a standout game. And in the March Madness tournament, which was a phenomenal run for Clemson, PJ Hall had like one or two games where he really looked like he was a good, not a good NBA player, where he looked like he was a good college big man. I don't think PJ Hall is anywhere close to ready for the NBA. I was begging that guy, come back for one more year. Be the man for one more year. Develop your game for one more year. And listen, it's easy for me to say when there's not an NBA draft paycheck attached to my decision, right? When my financial well-being isn't attached to whether I'm playing for Clemson or whoever, Indiana next year, that's a real easy decision for me to make. But as somebody who analyzes this stuff for a living, I was begging PJ Hall, come back for one more year, do it one more time again, upgrade your game, get some more time as a starter, get some more time as a star, develop yourself a little bit more before you throw yourself to the mercy of the league. I'm afraid that PJ Hall is not going to be the dog for an NBA team that he was for Clemson in spots last year. Not like Zach Edey, who was it every single game.
All right, and number 55, according to this mock draft, for the Los Angeles Lakers, Bronny James, which would be their second pick, not their first pick.
It would be. They got their first pick at, what is it, 27 or 22?
It was back up there.
Yeah, either 22 or 27 off the top of my head. I can't remember. I don't have the draft order picked up. But I'll tell you what, I'm actually okay with Bronny being picked at 55. I really am. Now, what'll be interesting is if any other team, let's say somebody sitting around 40, 45, does any other team have the rocks to grab Bronny before either the Lakers wait for him at 55 or before the Lakers make less of a trade move to move up to get him in that 30, 35, 40 spot? Does anybody else have the rocks to grab Bronny James and then try to strong arm the Lakers into some moves? Is it big or not for LeBron to be playing along with his kid? Because remember, 6 months ago, the answer was, yeah, Bronny didn't want anything more in the world than to LeBron didn't want anything more in the world than to play alongside LeBron James Jr. And then about a month ago, month and a half ago, when the Lakers head coaching search was starting to go to and back, LeBron suddenly came out with a change of heart. Suddenly it was, yeah, it'd be nice, but it's not like driving me. It's not going to be my primary decision maker about where I end up playing. But I don't believe LeBron.
Just like I don't believe
this contract. That's all it is.
For sure. Just like contract, yes. But I do think there was some thought that, hey, if Phoenix drafts Bronny, LeBron would, let's call it what it is, LeBron would be a spectacular fit in Phoenix. And Phoenix has been arguably the most disappointing team of the last 2 or 3 years. Could you imagine Devin Booker paired up with LeBron and then Bronny in relief? You pull LeBron off the floor and you send on new LeBron. Like, that actually would be a nice little pairing, I think. So I do think that part of the reason, not entirely, but part of the reason that LeBron did not immediately sign his player option with the Lakers was to see what happens tonight. And I'd be curious to see, do the Suns go get Bronny with their first pick or their second pick earlier in the second round and either put that as a lure out to LeBron, hey, bud, you're not a Laker. You could be a Sun. You could play with D-Book. You could play with your boy. Like, you could play the way that you said you wanted to play. And, like, while it's nice that you said at the end of the day it's not going to be a decision maker, I don't know about you, great one, but you put him with Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, Grayson Allen, who I despise as a person, but have to acknowledge earned his paycheck, Kevin Durant, who, by the way, is in trade talks right now. He's a piece. But if LeBron comes, Durant, LeBron, Grayson Allen, Bradley Beal, Devin Booker across the front five, then you work Bronny into the second team. And let me real quick say, I don't think Bronny's a first-round pick. I don't think Bronny's a bust either. I think LeBron James Jr., I think Bronny, baby, could be a good player at the next level. I think he is like McDonald's All-American level. Is he developed into a top-notch college player? No, I don't think he did. But I also think you got to take the context of Bronny's career. Remember that time he almost died? And then he could not have an offseason because of the almost dying thing. And do you remember that with zero offseason, the guy got cleared to play for USC like 7 minutes before the season started. And Bronny came out and had a pretty good year in a pretty good conference, right? I think he's good. And I think there's a lot of potential for development for Bronny to turn into a legitimate NBA player. Well, how better to do that? Then stack him on a team with his dad in Phoenix, along with Booker, Beal, Allen, Durant. You replace Yusuf Nurkic with, actually, Yusuf Nurkic, probably one of the more consistent players for the Suns. You leave Nurkic at the five, Durant and LeBron at the 3-4. You have Allen, Beal, and Booker. And then you just kind of build a rotating starting five out there. That actually might be too many good players for Phoenix if LeBron was to come over. The point here is the intrigue for this team, for this draft, the intrigue for this draft is not the star players to be drafted. The intrigue is, I think we could see an absolute flurry of moves tonight amongst traded players. We saw one last night, as we mentioned, in Mikal Bridges. Now the New York Knicks are officially known as the New York Wildcats as they rebuilt that Villanova Natty team from a couple of years ago. Talk about that. But there's potential for a lot of drama, and I'm excited about it. While the majority of y'all seem to say, new clip. Back after this, Rob Lonzo and you on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
real like sports stuff coming down the pipe, but I got to talk about this. You know how yesterday we talked about J.J. Redick? And when J.J. Redick was asked about what notion about you are you most looking forward to dispel, J.J. Redick said, you would. You would. Which I loved. And I said, listen, J.J. Redick, the coach, don't know if he's going to work out or not. I can give you a lot of reasons I think he will. I think he's very tactically adept at basketball. I think he's got the respect of LeBron, which let's call it. But you know what? I'll come back to that. Because Wendy went off on this yesterday and echoed the same sentiments. But this is not about J.J. Redick or Wendy or any of that. This is about Nick Benz.
Because I saw that Redick is being canceled for some other stuff that he said. But you'll have to
look at it. I can't wait to look at that.
Yeah, no, actually, you don't want to look at it.
Well, damn, am I going to change my mind back on J.J. Redick?
Well, probably. He shouldn't have come at the media. I'm just saying.
He didn't come at the media.
He did.
All right, we're going to talk about that later because there's actually another one where I'm going to give you an example of a guy being an actual ass to the media, and even you are going to be like, yeah, that's worse. That's way worse. So we'll do that coming up in a few minutes. But this is about Nick Benz. Do you know who Nick Benz is?
No.
Yeah, most people wouldn't. I didn't until literally yesterday.
It sounds like a video game character name.
It does. Yeah. B-I-E-N-Z. I don't know if it's pronounced Nick Beans, but I think it's Benz.
Beans sounds better to me.
I don't hate it. And I'll tell you, I like this guy even more. So, this is Nick Beans, Benz, whatever. He was an amateur playing in an amateur event. An open qualifier for the Rocket Mortgage Classic, a PGA signature event. Nick Benz fired a 7-under 65, tied with two others for the clubhouse lead, with just a few groups left to turn in their scorecards this weekend. Benz, works at an Indianapolis golf galaxy. He uses that job to fund his trying to be a pro golf career. It was looking like he had avoided a playoff and was going to earn his first PGA Tour start this week at the Detroit Golf Club. Well, he was not clear of the danger because if another golfer turned in an equal score, then there would have been a playoff. He would have had to go out there, play a couple more holes of golf and earn that way through a playoff, which if you've ever seen a golf playoff, as much as golf can be, it is intense. All right. It's high pressure because unlike when you're out there, maybe in a group like Bryson DeChambeau, where you already know what Rory McIlroy turned in, which means when you step onto the tee box at 18, you already know what score wins it, what score ties it, and what score loses it. But you don't have to stare down your opponent as you're walking up the green on 18. You're just kind of in a good spot. In a playoff, you are teeing off alongside that guy. You are watching every shot he hits. He is hitting every shot you hit. He's seeing every shot you hit. It's intense. Well, Benz, in order to calm his nerves a little bit, knowing full well a playoff could easily be in the cards, Nick Benz, employee at Golf Galaxy, walked to the clubhouse and pounded three consecutive brewskis while waiting to find out if he was going to be in a playoff or if he had won or if he was going to lose. Wouldn't you know it, as he sat there and knocked back three brewskis at the clubhouse at the 19th hole, out of the final six guys to come in, two of them turned in a 65, which meant that Beans had to go back out and play in a 5-for-4 playoff. There were four spots available. Five golfers went out. Whoever turned in the four lowest scores. Basically, the first guy to screw up was going to miss his opportunity to play in the Rocket Mortgage Championship this weekend in Detroit. In regulation, Benz was bogey free and four under through 14 when he stuck his second shot on 15 to 3 feet, made an eagle, capped his round off by rolling in a 12 footer for birdie. Asked about that 12 foot putt that put him into the playoff, Beans said, quote, "I blacked out. I'm just calling him Beans now." Ben's Beans, whatever.
Beans works so much better. I mean, yes.
For the intent and purposes of this conversation, it damn sure does. So Beans went to the clubhouse and said, quote, "I downed three beers. Remember how I said three beers would be a perfect amount? Well, I'm perfect." Nick Benz then walked out to the playoff hole, watched the first player birdie that playoff hole, meaning he was safe because the other four players, including Benz, had a battle for three spots. They went shot for shot until the sixth playoff hole when Yontisopoulos, a Greek player, canned a 40-footer for birdie to earn himself a spot. That means we went to the seventh with three players fighting for two. Beans then holed a four-footer for birdie to get through and make it into the Rocket Mortgage Championship. I'm going to tell you right now, coming up at the Rocket Mortgage Classic this weekend, there's a lot of guys that I like that I'm going to be pulling for. There's a lot of guys that are going to be teeing off that I'm a big fan of. I love to see Tom Kim give himself another chance after being outdueled by the best on the planet, Scottie Scheffler. Will Zalatoris, a.k.a. the caddy from Happy Gilmore. I absolutely want to see him make a run this weekend. Ricky Fowler, my flat bill cap brother in arms. I'm always pull for Ricky Fowler. There's everybody's favorite, Michael Thorbjornsson, a.k.a. Lonzo. Thunder Bear,
yeah.
We love us some Thunder Bear up in here. Looking forward to seeing Thorbjornsson get out there and Thunder Bear his round a little bit. Daniel Berger, I am a fan. Some of the biggest names out there are going to be in the field, and I'll be pulling for them. It's not the most star-studded field, but there are a lot of golfers who are second- and third-tier golfers that I really think a win and some confidence could boost them, and I will be pulling for those guys. But if you think there is going to be a golfer playing anywhere on planet Earth this weekend, and that includes me, I'm going back down to Florida for the weekend. The goal is to get 18 in at some point with the little brother before I come back. And I'm going to tell you straight up, there is nothing more intense in my life than when the little bro and I are out there on 18 trying to outduel each other. I will be pulling for me less than I will be pulling for Mr. Beans, who knocked back three brewskis in about a 15-minute span at the clubhouse and then went out there and gutted up and knocked down a birdie putt to make sure he's got a spot in the Rocket Mortgage Championship. I love this dude because he's me.
Did you get a new club yet?
I'm working on it. I got two in the bag right now that I'm looking at, and I'm trying to decide which one I want to go with. One of them is a little bit more advanced and a little less forgiving, but it gives you a little more shot-shaping ability based on the tech in the club. The other one is a lot more forgiving, but it's pretty much a straight-hit driver. You can't put a lot of shape on the golf ball. So on a dog left at my driving distance, I'm kind of limited with that stick. So I'm trying to decide which one I'm going to go with. Or do I want to buy a used version of both and be that guy that's got two drivers in the bag?
Well, this is about beating your brother. I mean, so which is going to give you that advantage?
I don't know. That's the problem. That's why I can't pull the trigger.
Or can you beat your brother? I mean, I don't know if he's any good.
No, he's better than me. But it's one of those that if I have a good day, when he has a bad day, I can snipe him. I can get him by one.
What can you do to make him have a bad day?
Probably get him to bang back three beers in the clubhouse is my bet. That I'm gonna try to get my guy to go with the Beans method here. I'm going to try to get him on the Nick Bean strategy because I feel like if I can get him to bang down three IPAs before we hop in the cart, I might give myself a chance. The problem is there's nothing I love more than knocking back three IPAs before I get in the cart. That's why I'm Team Beans. The Rob Brown Show officially endorses Nick Beans as our favorite golfer.
You could, I mean, you could do the old, hey, look over there and then do this with your, you know.
So I can't bring myself to outright cheat. All right. I don't have the foot wedge in the bag.
Yeah, but you want him to drink, but you don't want to. I mean, you just have a contest and, oh, man, you beat me. Have another contest. Oh, man, you beat me. And then you say, you know, I'm really not supposed to drink that many. Sorry, dude. And then you stop and he's already drank them. I'm just giving you some strategy.
It's the old worst shot takes a shot methodology to golf. Worst shot takes a shot. That's a game that's better played when there's like four of you playing a foursome out there. Worst shot takes a shot. Because usually by 18, everybody's competing for worst shot. Two guys in the golf cart playing worst shot takes a shot makes it a real, real dangerous round of golf. Here's all I know. When the Rocket Mortgage Classic tees off and my guy Nick Beans is out there trying to make it happen, just know that there is not an athlete on planet Earth that I am pulling for harder this weekend than Nick, three IPAs at the 19th hole Beans. I am Team Beans. Go get him, my guy. Maybe go knock back three before you tee off on one. Forget teeing off on nine after knocking a few back. Tee off on one after putting back a couple of stormies, after putting back a couple of hazies. That's the way to go, my guy. Team Beans this weekend. All right, let's take a break. When we come back here in just a minute from right now, college football news we need to get into. How much, like how risque are you willing to let your athletes get in the name of putting their personality first? We kind of had that discussion a little bit about Reddick yesterday. A NASCAR driver is in a bit of hot water for leaning into the Hawk Tua meme that's popped up lately.
Wow, we made it 3 days before.
I need you to know, my goal was wait till it involves itself in a story. It was not. I'm just not just throwing out the Hawk Tua meme. I got to wait till it's a sports story, and I did it. I'm very proud of myself.
I was surprised. The first time I heard it in the building, I've heard it in wrestling twice now.
Oh, yeah.
But the first time I heard it in the building was yesterday, and Andrew did it. Not surprising.
The not on air guy dropped it on
us. Yeah, but not surprising.
Not surprising at all. I wanted to make sure the first Hawk Tua reference on this show was a sports story. And I've done it. I'm very proud of me. You should be proud of me, too. That's class.
I am, yes.
Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. I'm going to get into another sports conversation here in just moments from now, but you will remember, not terribly long ago, that Lonzo and I stumbled into a moment of OWTF-ness when we found out that the U.S. geological whatever has changed a definition of geography to say that a hill and a mountain don't have a clarifying difference, right? A hill doesn't become a mountain at a certain height. A mountain doesn't become a hill based on its geography, which the more I thought about it, makes sense, right? The Appalachian Mountains, if we're being honest, the majority of them are just really big hills. There's nothing that defines them, but that's also because it is an ancient mountain range. One of my favorite geography facts. The mountains that make up the highlands of Scotland and then transfer over into Finland, Sweden, Denmark, etc., that is the same mountain chain as the Appalachian Mountains. That mountain chain was formed when we were a supercontinent, and when the continent split, those mountains got separated, but they're the same range. You find the same strata and the same fossils within those mountains. It's a pretty cool fact. Here's today's question of the day, a question that Zoe and I will be researching to see if we can find an answer. Where's the definition between a river and a creek? Like, now, my belief is, off the top of my head, with exactly nothing to support it, is that a creek feeds a river. And a river does not feed. A river flows to an ocean.
So a river can't feed a river? But it's just the same river.
Maybe it can, right? Because I think there are rivers that feed into, like, there are rivers that feed into the Mississippi River that are still called rivers, but that's just the name.
Three rivers, which I believe are three rivers that go
feed into one river, which is outside of, I think the Allegheny River outside of Pittsburgh is fed by three rivers, and that's why you have Three River Stadium, right? So maybe that's completely wrong.
See, I made a sports connection there.
Well done.
Yeah.
Well done. Bravo. My question is, when does a creek become a river? Right? So our boy Jersey Joe is up in Holden Beach going with the Aaron Rodgers retreat concept as he preps for his next hot dog eating champion, the hot dog eating champion of the Carolinas, Jersey Joe,
You got to go to your happy place. You got to get to your place of zen so you can prepare.
Oh, I support this entirely.
Yeah, yeah.
I support this entirely. I've got my, like, if I got an important round of golf, not just like playing with the boys, but I'm going out with like a business guy, somebody trying to, like when, you know, every now and then I'll get a chance to go play golf with like one of the coaches of the local pro teams or whatever. Maybe I'm going out with an AD from one of the schools. You want to go out there and impress. Because while it's supposed to be just kind of like a fun, loose, relaxed day out of the office, you don't want to go out there and hit the ball like in front of guys you're trying to impress, right? Like you want to slap the golf ball around a little bit. So when I got a big round of golf, 100%, I've got my zen that I get myself into. Now, it's not traditional. Ordinarily, it involves me sitting for about 30 extra minutes in the parking lot of the clubhouse playing some Godsmack, playing some Nine Inch Nails, playing some metal, because that's my zen. Zen doesn't have to like involve like wind chimes and humming bowls, right? My zen is I get into that mindset, that metal mindset, that's where I want to go.
I'm not going to look up humming bowl.
It's the, you know what it is. It's like the big metal bowls that like they take the stick and they ring it around the outside and it goes.
Are you sure that's what that's called?
No, but okay. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay. All right.
Dadgummit, now I got to Google that too. My Google feed is going to be a wreck today.
Good luck trying to figure out how to find out what that is.
I'm going
to
type in humming bowl and see what happens. It's called a Tibetan singing bowl. I was close.
There we go.
I was close. Humming is just singing for people who can't sing. All right. We know that. So anyway, we got to talking about this. My man Jersey Joe said he's up on Holden Beach. And I said, where's Holden Beach? I assume it's on the Atlantic, right? Because a beach has got to be connected to the ocean. I said, wait a minute. There are people who call beaches connected to lakes beaches, which is not a beach to me, but I'm a beach elitist. I came from the most beautiful beaches on the continental United States of America. So I'm a bit of a beach elitist. And then we said, can a beach be attached to a river? Can it be attached to a creek? Which, of course, sent me spiraling down the thought of, what's the difference between a river and a creek? How do you split the two? Is there a difference?
You know, and now that I'm thinking, you know the beach that I went to all the time in Ohio? Deer Creek.
Yeah. All right. According to the Forest Preserve District of Will County.
Well, if you don't believe them.
There are no strict definitions to distinguish these waterways from one another. We tend to reserve the term river for the largest flowing bodies of water, while creek is used for the smallest, and stream applies to bodyways that are river water bodies that are in between. According to a Reddit hydrologist, and obviously, I immediately trust his credentials.
Just like the Reddit doctor, yes, obviously.
This commenter 1 year ago on a question, what is the difference between a river and a creek, filed to the geography subreddit, which I am now officially joined to. Response is, I work as a hydrologist, and there's no clear technical distinction. As folks have indicated, the main drainage in a significantly sized watershed is usually referred to as a river, while the tributaries are called creeks. The size really depends on the climate. In more and more areas, what gets labeled as a river can be much smaller than in higher precipitation areas. As a side note, same thing applies to lake v. pond.
Okay, that's it. I live on a mountain and a river runs through it. That's okay. That sounds much better than I live on a hill and there's a creek over there.
Also, shout out to a river runs through it. One of the best. I'm going to argue.
Brad Pitt?
Brad Pitt, exactly. Yeah,
so I was like 40 years ago or something.
Yeah, that movie dropped in the early 90s, like 91, 92, somewhere in there. Shout out to a river runs through it. Chris said the Edisto River starts as a ditch. Most rivers do, right? This is true. I have been to the headwaters of the Mississippi River. I have been to what is considered the point of origination for the Mississippi River. It's a creek. But then it turns into the mighty Mississippi, arguably the most important river in the continental United States. But the first, like, handful of miles of the Mississippi River are a creek, dude. You wouldn't know that's what it was unless you followed it.
So Huddy K says, so the difference is usually just boat access.
I mean, honestly, I think that's fair.
Yeah, but there again, I mean, if I can put a canoe on a creek, is it now a river?
Canoe's not a boat.
Canoe's
a canoe.
A canoe is a kind of boat.
Nah, canoe's not a boat. Just like a creek's not a river.
A kayak is a kind of boat. Pontoon is a kind of boat.
I'll put it this way. It's like Tipper Gore said about porn. I can't define it, but I know it when I see it. That's a creek and a river. I can't tell you the definition, but if you show me a body of water, I can go, that's a creek or that's a river. I can't tell you why, but I can tell you that's a creek and that's a river. Just like if I look at a canoe and a boat, I go, that's not a boat, it's a canoe. That's not a canoe, it's a boat.
All right, so the elitist, I got the elitist glare. I get those on occasion, so I know there are certain things that so I can put a boat size in there. And what's a boat?
What the boat are we talking about? All right, that's enough of that. That's enough of that. Hey, let me ask you this question.
You're right, because we're not getting any response at all from that, so we probably should move on from that because
most interacted with segment we've had this week. Texter says, Rob, first, it's pronounced crick, not creek. Second, some rivers feed lakes, not all feed oceans. Do better. Oh, I got to find the second half of this text. And stick to doing the sports, please.
Okay, so by the way, water sports is a sport. According to the internet, a canoe is a type of boat. It's a lightweight boat.
Again, I'm not saying it's not a type of boat. I'm saying it's not a boat.
I said it was a type of boat. You said it wasn't a boat.
It's not a boat. It's a type of boat, but it's not a boat.
A type of boat is still a boat.
Nah, it's a type of boat. Just like a creek is a type of river, but it's not. Sorry, a crick is a type of river, but it's not a river. It's a crick, right? It's a difference that there's not a definition for. That's the important part. Texter said, a creek becomes a river when a fisherman can catch a keeper. Thanks for texting the show, Diesel. Great to have you. Completely agree with that, actually.
Well, if you're hungry, that's fair. If you're hungry, anything's a keeper.
Nah, man, you can catch some brim that aren't worth the time. You're going to burn more
what
calories
about
than
them
you get.
They're crappies.
For the record, I've never caught a brim or a crappie. I've caught a trout. Never caught a salmon. Caught a trout. But I've never got. Actually, and let me say this. I got a problem, internet. I got a problem, stream. I got a problem, listening audience. Not a damn one of y'all has taken me river fishing up here yet. I've been here 4.5 years. I have not been river fishing yet. Not one of y'all has taken me to a creek or a river to get a line wet. And I got a problem with that.
By the way, according to the internet, creek is used just about everywhere except the South. My uncle called it a creek, one of my uncles. The rest of them did not. And
wait, you're saying creek is used in the South, but not everywhere else?
It's used everywhere except the South.
I've never heard of anything but a creek from like traditional Southern dudes.
No, man. Going down the creek. Not going down the creek.
Nah, it's creek. Where I'm from, and I'm from the South. I've been here my whole damn life.
Florida's not the South, according to some people.
The Florida panhandle damn sure is. We call it Lower Alabama, and it's a creek down there.
If there's not, I mean, if there's not a state below you, you're as far south as you can get.
I mean, I will agree that once you get past I-75 and head south, then it becomes the North. Like, you could take Miami.
Unless you count Cuba as a true South, which maybe you could. I don't know.
Cuba's not part of the United States. The Dominican Republic is, though. They say the Dom Rep is the
Southest. I was going further, as far south as I could in this,
All right. Well, I was going to get to the sports, but this seems important. Texter says, I've got the answer. It's all water. Yeah, but that's the thing, right? Like, if the fiancé says, hey, babe, take me to the beach this weekend, the answer is yes, because Rob will do anything that he gets an excused Bahama mama for. And anytime you're sitting on a beach, whether it's connected to a creek, a river, a lake, a pond, or an ocean, it's justifiable Bahama mama o'clock. But if she says, take me to the beach, Does that mean all the way over to Charleston? Does that mean up into the state park to go sit on the side of a river? Does that mean I can go out to whatever lake we want to go to?
I predict when you finally go to Myrtle, you're going to come back here and you're just going to destroy it because of how ugly the beaches are, the water is not the right color, all that kind of stuff.
I will say this. As much as I have said that, with all due respect to Myrtle, a place I have not been yet, Panama City Beach is the superior trash bash beach because that's where I grew up. I will say this. Panama City is a trash bash in the city, but the beach is perfect. White sand, emerald green water. It's hard to top, man. It's postcard beach. Hard to top. All right. So there's that. Coming up in the next hour of the show, we got actual sports to talk about.
I'm going to go buy a floaty boat, and I'm going to put it on my creek, and I'm going to take a picture.
Look at me, Rob. I'm on the boat by the beach.
No, I'm out on the river.
Oh, man. All right. Coming up in the next hour of the show, I got a bunch I want to get into. Number one, welcome to peak off-season radio. I'd like to have a conversation about rivalries and what makes them. Not because of college football, although it will always be involved. That's what we do here. But because of the Caitlin Clark Angel Reese thing. Chicago and Indy played a game the other day, and there was a debate that raged amongst the chief WNBA talking heads, where one of them said, "What a great rivalry this has turned into." And another talking head said, "This is not a rivalry. They've played each other thrice. That's not enough to say it's a rivalry."
Worked it in early today.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about that and whether or not this is a rivalry, because I got to tell you, to me it is, and to me it's a good thing for the WNBA that it is, but there are people that are trying to play it off like it's not. You know who else said it's a rivalry yesterday? Magic freaking Johnson. One half of one of the greatest rivalries in the history of basketball, Magic v. Larry. He said it's a rivalry. Is he right? We'll talk about that coming up in the next hour. We got a NASCAR crew member that's in hot water because he tweeted out a Hawk Tua joke. And obviously I have to talk about that.
That's two. Should I keep track? That's the second time you said it.
No, so don't, because you're going to lose count when we get to the Hawk Tua segment. Three.
Okay, fine.
When we get to that segment, and I will say this, and I mean this. I have actually built up a legitimate sports conversation about it. A legitimate sports conversation based on the Hawk Tua meme that's for. So I want to get into it because I think you guys will have some takes on that. So we'll talk about that. ESPN's college football analysts have put out their projections for the Clemson football win-loss total this year. Do you think they're going to be accurate? And is Georgia v. Clemson week one in the ATL, is that a playoff elimination game? Because there are some analysts that are saying right now that game's loser is bounced from the playoffs before they play their second game. Is that true? Is there a path to the playoff for Clemson if they drop the Georgia game in week one? We'll evaluate that as well. I got some golf. I got some soccer. As Copa America, the United States gets set for game number two in Group C action tomorrow night against Panama. A U.S. men's national team player had a take that I like but don't love about keeping results in focus over performance. We'll get to that and more. Now, a guy who is the easy winner of the gold medal when it comes to reading the sports flash, the great one, Lonzo.
I got nothing. Lots of things going on in the NBA last night leading up to tonight's draft. The Brooklyn Nets sent forward Mikal Bridges to the New York Knicks in return for four unprotected first rounders and one protected first rounder, as well as a second rounder spread out through 2031. Rob just likes to confuse people. The NBA draft starts at 8 o'clock tonight, and the Atlanta Hawks have the first pick. The Panthers aren't the only team getting renovations to their NFL stadium. Jacksonville City Council approved $1.4 billion in upgrades to Everbank Stadium, of which $775 million will come from the city. The deal comes with a 30-year non-relocation agreement and limits the team to one home game in London annually. Hey, tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for a brand new local show on location today at Ingles. Wire to Wire, Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debates, a whole lot of fun, and it's all Wire to Wire.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches.
Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm going to get into another sports conversation here in just moments from now, but you will remember not terribly long ago that Lonzo and I stumbled into a moment of OWTF-ness when we found out that the U.S. geological whatever has changed a definition of geography to say that a hill and a mountain don't have a clarifying difference, right? A hill doesn't become a mountain at a certain height. A mountain doesn't become a hill based on its geography, which the more I thought about it, makes sense, right? The Appalachian Mountains, if we're being honest, the majority of them are just really big hills. There's nothing that defines them, but that's also because it is an ancient mountain range. One of my favorite geography facts. The mountains that make up the Highlands of Scotland and then transfer over into Finland, Sweden, Denmark, etc., that is the same mountain chain as the Appalachian Mountains. That mountain chain was formed when we were a supercontinent, and when the continent split, those mountains got separated, but they're the same range. You find the same strata and the same fossils within those mountains. It's a pretty cool fact. Here's today's question of the day, a question that Zoe and I will be researching to see if we can find an answer. Where's the definition between a river and a creek? Like, now, my belief is, off the top of my head, with exactly nothing to support it, is that a creek feeds a river, and a river does not feed. A river flows to an ocean.
So a river can't feed a river? But it's just the same river.
Maybe it can, right? Because I think there are rivers that feed into, like, there are rivers that feed into the Mississippi River that are still called rivers, but that's just the name.
Three rivers, which I believe are three rivers that go
feed into one river, which is outside of, I think the Allegheny River outside of Pittsburgh is fed by three rivers, and that's why you have Three River Stadium, right? So maybe that's completely wrong.
See, I made a sports connection there.
Well done.
Yeah.
Well done. Bravo. My question is, when does a creek become a river, right? So our boy Jersey Joe is up in Holden Beach going with the Aaron Rodgers retreat concept as he preps for his next hot dog eating champion, the hot dog eating champion of the Carolinas, Jersey Joe,
You got to go to your happy place. You got to get to your place of zen so you can prepare.
Oh, I support this entirely.
Yeah.
I support this entirely. I've got my, if I got an important round of golf, not just like playing with the boys, but I'm going out with like a business guy, somebody trying to, like when, every now and then I'll get a chance to go play golf with like one of the coaches of the local pro teams or whatever. Maybe I'm going out with an AD from one of the schools. You want to go out there and impress. Because while it's supposed to be just kind of like a fun, loose, relaxed day out of the office, you don't want to go out there and hit the ball like in front of guys you're trying to impress, right? Like you want to slap the golf ball around a little bit. So when I got a big round of golf, 100%, I've got my zen that I get myself into. Now, it's not traditional. Ordinarily, it involves me sitting for about 30 extra minutes in the parking lot of the clubhouse playing some Godsmack, playing some Nine Inch Nails, playing some metal, because that's my zen. Zen doesn't have to like involve like wind chimes and humming bowls, right? My zen is I get into that mindset, that metal mindset. That's where I want to go.
I'm not going to look up humming bowl.
You know what it is. It's like the big metal bowls that like they take the stick and they ring it around the outside and it goes.
Are you sure that's what that's called?
No, but okay. That's right. What I'm talking about.
Okay, all right.
Dadgummit, now I got to Google that too. My Google feed is going to be a wreck today.
Good luck trying to figure out how to find out what that is.
I'm going to type in humming bowl and see what happens. It's called a Tibetan singing bowl. I was close.
There we go.
I was close. Humming is just singing for people who can't sing. All right, we know that. So anyway, we got to talking about this. My man Jersey Joe said he's up on Holden Beach. And I said, where's Holden Beach? I assume it's on the Atlantic, right? Because a beach has got to be connected to the ocean. I said, wait a minute, there are people who call beaches connected to lakes beaches, which is not a beach to me, but I'm a beach elitist. I came from the most beautiful beaches on the continental United States of America, so I'm a bit of a beach elitist. And then we said, can a beach be attached to a river? Can it be attached to a creek? Which, of course, sent me spiraling down the thought of, what's the difference between a river and a creek? How do you split the two? Is there a difference?
You know, and now that I'm thinking, you know the beach that I went to all the time in Ohio? Deer Creek.
Yeah. All right. According to the Forest Preserve District of Will County.
Well, if you don't believe them.
There are no strict definitions to distinguish these waterways from one another. We tend to reserve the term river for the largest flowing bodies of water, while creek is used for the smallest, and stream applies to body ways that are river water bodies that are in between. According to a Reddit hydrologist, and obviously, I immediately trust his credentials.
Just like the Reddit doctor, yes, obviously.
This commenter 1 year ago on a question, what is the difference between a river and a creek, filed to the geography subreddit, which I am now officially joined to. Response is, I work as a hydrologist, and there's no clear technical distinction. As folks have indicated, the main drainage in a significantly sized watershed is usually referred to as a river, while the tributaries are called creeks. The size really depends on the climate. In more and more areas, what gets labeled as a river can be much smaller than in higher precipitation areas. As a side note, same thing applies to lake v. pond.
Okay, that's it. I live on a mountain and a river runs through it. That's okay. That sounds much better than I live on a hill and there's a creek over there.
Also, shout out to a river runs through it. One of the best. I'm going to argue.
Brad Pitt,
exactly. Yeah,
so I was like 40 years ago or something.
Yeah, that movie dropped in the early 90s, like 91, 92, somewhere in there. Shout out to a river runs through it. Chris said the Edisto River starts as a ditch. Most rivers do, right? This is true. I have been to the headwaters of the Mississippi River. I have been to what is considered the point of origination for the Mississippi River. It's a creek. But then it turns into the mighty Mississippi, arguably the most important river in the continental United States. But the first like handful of miles of the Mississippi River are a creek, dude. You wouldn't know that's what it was unless you followed it.
So Huddy K says, so the difference is usually just boat access.
I mean, honestly, I think that's fair.
Yeah,
I do.
But there again, I mean, if I can put a canoe on a creek, is it now a river?
Canoe's not a boat.
Canoe's
a canoe.
A canoe is a kind of boat.
Nah. Canoe's not a boat, just like a creek's not a river.
A kayak is a kind of boat. A pontoon is a kind of boat.
I'll put it this way. It's like Tipper Gore said about porn. I can't define it, but I know it when I see it. That's a creek and a river. I can't tell you the definition, but if you show me a body of water, I can go, that's a creek or that's a river. I can't tell you why, but I can tell you that's a creek and that's a river. Just like if I look at a canoe and a boat, I go, that's not a boat, it's a canoe. That's not a canoe, it's a boat.
All right, so the elitist, I got the elitist glass. I get those on occasion, so I know there are certain things that so I can put a boat size in there. And what's a boat?
What the boat are we talking about? All right, that's enough of that. That's enough of that. Hey, let me ask you this question.
You're right, because we're not getting any response at all from that, so we probably should move on from that because
most interacted with segment we've had this week. Texter says, Rob, first, it's pronounced crick, not creek. Second, some rivers feed lakes, not all feed oceans. Do better. Oh, I got to find the second half of this text. And stick to doing the sports, please.
Okay, so by the way, water sports is a sport. According to the internet, a canoe is a type of boat. It's a lightweight boat.
Again, I'm not saying it's not a type of boat. I'm saying it's not
a
boat.
Well, I said it was type of boat. You said it wasn't a boat.
It's not a boat. It's a type of boat, but it's not a boat.
A type of boat is still a boat.
Nah, it's a type of boat. Just like a creek is a type of river, but it's not. Sorry, a creek is a type of river, but it's not a river. It's a creek, right? It's a difference that there's not a definition for. That's the important part. Texter said, a creek becomes a river when a fisherman can catch a keeper. Thanks for texting the show, Diesel. Great to have you. Completely agree with that, actually.
Well, if you're hungry, that's fair. If you're hungry, anything's a keeper.
Nah, man, you can catch some brim that aren't worth the time. You're going to burn more calories than
you
get.
What about them? They're crappies.
For the record, I've never caught a brim or a crappie. I've caught a trout. Never caught a salmon. Caught a trout. But I've never got... Actually, and let me say this. I got a problem, Internet. I got a problem, stream. I got a problem, listening audience. Not a damn one of y'all has taken me river fishing up here yet. I've been here 4.5 years. I have not been river fishing yet. Not one of y'all has taken me to a creek or a river to get a line wet. And I got a problem with that.
By the way, according to the internet, creek is used just about everywhere except the South. My uncle called it a creek. One of my uncles. The rest of them did not. And
wait, you're saying creek is used in the South, but not everywhere else?
It's used everywhere except the South.
I've never heard of anything but a creek from like traditional Southern dudes.
No, man. Going down the creek. Not going down the creek.
Nah, it's creek. Where I'm from, and I'm from the South. I've been here my whole damn life.
Florida's not the South, according to some people.
The Florida panhandle damn sure is. We call it Lower Alabama, and it's a creek down there.
If there's not, if there's not a state below you, you're as far south as you can get.
I mean, I will agree that once you get past I-75 and head south, then it becomes the North. Like, you could take Miami.
Unless you count Cuba as a true South, which maybe you could. I don't know.
Cuba's not part of the United States. The Dominican Republic is, though. They say the Dom Rep is the
South. I was going further, as far south as I could in this,
All right. Well, I was going to get to the sports, but this seems important. Texter says, I've got the answer. It's all water. Yeah, but that's the thing, right? Like, if the fiance says, hey, babe, take me to the beach this weekend, the answer is yes, because Rob will do anything that he gets an excused Bahama mama for. And anytime you're sitting on a beach, whether it's connected to a creek, a river, a lake, a pond, or an ocean, it's justifiable Bahama mama o'clock. But if she says, take me to the beach, does that mean all the way over to Charleston? Does that mean up into the state park to go sit on the side of a river? Does that mean I can go out to whatever lake we want to go to?
I predict when you finally go to Myrtle, you're going to come back here and you're just going to destroy it because of how ugly the beaches are, the water is not the right color, all that kind of stuff.
I will say this. As much as I have said that, with all due respect to Myrtle, a place I have not been yet, Panama City Beach is the superior trash bash beach because that's where I grew up. I will say this. Panama City is a trash bash in the city, but the beach is perfect. White sand, emerald green water. It's hard to top, man. It's postcard beach. Hard to top. All right. So there's that. Coming up in the next hour of the show, we got actual sports to talk about.
I'm going to go buy a floaty boat, and I'm going to put it on my creek, and I'm going to take a picture.
Look at me, Rob. I'm on the boat by the beach.
No, I'm out on the river.
Oh, man. All right. Coming up in the next hour of the show, I got a bunch I want to get into. Number one, welcome to peak off-season radio. I'd like to have a conversation about rivalries and what makes them. Not because of college football, although it will always be involved. That's what we do here. But because of the Caitlin Clark Angel Reese thing. Chicago and Indy played a game the other day, and there was a debate that raged amongst the chief WNBA talking heads, where one of them said, what a great rivalry this has turned into. And another talking head said, this is not a rivalry. They've played each other thrice. That's not enough to say it's a rivalry.
Worked it in early today.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about that and whether or not this is a rivalry, because I got to tell you, to me it is, and to me it's a good thing for the WNBA that it is, but there are people that are trying to play it off like it's not. You know who else said it's a rivalry yesterday? Magic freaking Johnson. One half of one of the greatest rivalries in the history of basketball, Magic v. Larry. He said it's a rivalry. Is he right? We'll talk about that coming up in the next hour.
We got a NASCAR crew member that's in hot water because he tweeted out a Hawk Tua joke. And obviously have to talk. I have to talk about that.
That's two. Should I keep track? That's the second time you said it.
No, don't, because you're going to lose count when we get to the Hawk Tua segment. Three.
Okay, fine.
When we get to that segment, and I will say this, and I mean this. I have actually built up a legitimate sports conversation about it. A legitimate sports conversation based on the Hawk Tua meme that's for. So I want to get into it because I think you guys will have some takes on that. So we'll talk about that. ESPN's college football analysts have put out their projections for the Clemson football win-loss total this year. Do you think they're going to be accurate? And is Georgia v. Clemson week one in the ATL, is that a playoff elimination game? Because there are some analysts that are saying right now that game's loser is bounced from the playoffs before they play their second game. Is that true? Is there a path to the playoff for Clemson if they drop the Georgia game in week one? We'll evaluate that as well. I got some golf. I got some soccer. As Copa America, the United States gets set for game number two in Group C action tomorrow night against Panama. A U.S. men's national team player had a take that I like but don't love about keeping results in focus over performance. We'll get to that and more now. A guy who is the easy winner of the gold medal when it comes to reading the Sports Flash, the great one, Lonzo.
I got nothing. Lots of things going on in the NBA last night leading up to tonight's draft. The Brooklyn Nets sent forward Mikal Bridges to the New York Knicks in return for four unprotected first-rounders and one protected first-rounder, as well as a second-rounder spread out through 2031. Rob just likes to confuse people. The NBA draft starts at 8 o'clock tonight, and the Atlanta Hawks have the first pick. The Panthers aren't the only team getting renovations to their NFL stadium. Jacksonville City Council approved $1.4 billion in upgrades to Everbank Stadium, of which $775 million will come from the city. The deal comes with a 30-year non-relocation agreement and limits the team to one home game in London annually. Hey, tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for a brand new local show on location today at Ingles. Wire to Wire, Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debates, a whole lot of fun, and it's all Wire to Wire.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.